We would turn once again to the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. We're going to read the same section, verses 1 through 14, and preach on the verse prior to the verse we preached on this morning. This morning we preached on verse 4. We preach on verse 3 this evening. Hear the word of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The text this evening is chapter 1 of and verse 3 of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Our text, beloved, is a doxology, a word of praise to God. That's what doxologies are. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is a praise to God. It is, in fact, a part or the leading part of the whole section, which is speaking of what God has done to the praise of his own glory. So you read that he predestinated us in verse 5, but verse 6 says that was to the praise of the glory of his grace. We read in all also in verse 12 that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And the Spirit is given, verse 14, as the guarantee of our inheritance and to the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So these works of God are cited here as to the praise of his glory. But Paul would lead the way, and he himself would be one who praises God, and he would lead us by his example into the praise of God. There are three things that I would point out to you, first of all, about this praise before we get into the meat of the text. First of all, you'll note this is praise which is first. This is the first thing that the apostle has to say. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and so on. So, if you note the context here, and right before that, he's greeted the saints, Paul, to the saints, grace to you and peace, greetings, now praises to God. That's what's on his mind. First things first. And I would suggest to you that that's something that should be commended to our intention. We should be those who are first in praise, just as the psalmist of old, the psalmist all over the place, in Psalm 72, for example, the psalmist says, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. So Zacharias, when he receives the notification of this son who's going to be the preparer of the way of the Messiah, blessed be the God of Israel. So Paul and other doxologies, so the saints in all the times have been leading the way in praise. Israel's formed for God and for his praise. So the church of the New Testament is formed for God and His praise. And as we shall see, we are elected of God so that we might be filled with blessing, and the fruit of this is praise. First thing then, if our praise would be like Paul's, apostolic, would be like those who are proper sons of God, it must be first and primary in our lives. Second, it must be real. It must be born out of the truth that is in us. Paul here is not citing praise and being fake about it. He's not just rehearsing a catechism that he might have learned somewhere. He is speaking of the truth of God, and that God be praised by himself and all of us, because he knows the salvation of which he speaks, the worthiness of God and the Lamb of whom he speaks. So our praise, of course, must be real, not fake praise. Not just praise of children who follow in the steps of their parents and repeat after them. No, but real. Something that is moved in us and is moved to utter praise and to be those who live the lives of praise. And so that. But then I want to add this as well. If our praise would be real, we must be those who are seeking the praise of God always and also the blessings of others. The blessings of praise, the blessings of a community that praises God in the church, in our families, so that as we praise God together, we are enhanced in our faith. And so, first and real, and for blessings all around, let there be praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Of all people, we have reason to praise God because we are blessed of God exceedingly, beyond what we could ask or think. Isn't that your confession? We are blessed of God exceedingly, beyond what we can ask or think. As those who are saved, as those who are forgiven, as those who are worked in to forgive others. Look at it another way. As heirs of the Reformation, as those who have been given, as deposited in our laps, as it were, the faith of our fathers. Aren't we blessed supremely? Aren't we, as Christians and Reformed believers, and as those who still have a lot to learn, aren't we still those saying, we are blessed? We are truly, truly blessed in all things. Blessed, in fact, with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, just want to point out a few things about these blessings that are described here in our text. They are described as those from the Father, from the fount of election, as we saw this morning, verse 4. But they're blessings such that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing, or all spiritual blessings, in the heavenly places in Christ. Now that tells us, first of all, something about the blessings. We're blessed with these blessings that are spiritual, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Meaning, we are blessed so that our souls are affected for good. God blesses us. And that word itself means he's spoken a good word of us. That means he's favored us. But the way he does that is with a spiritual blessing that's good for the soul. Some good word from heaven, some powerful, creative word from heaven that moves in our soul to be those who are drawn to God and who are drawn to be his praisers on this world, in this world. We're blessed so that our spirit, that aspect of our soul that is related to God and meant to be related to God, is truly in touch with the things of heaven and with the God himself of heaven. This is all by the Holy Spirit. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing because we're blessed with the Holy Spirit. And now we like to turn, of course, to Galatians 5. just a couple of pages over in my Bible. And remember that the fruit of the Spirit is, well, what? Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, against which there is no law. We like to say that those are truly the blessings of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, they are. They are great blessings, great virtues to have when you're up, when you're down, when people are for you or against you. The fruit of the Spirit in our homes, in the church, and in all of life. So we have a good attitude at work, so that we have a good attitude at play, so that we are those who are spiritual in our life and the practical daily things of life. But I want to remind you that there's something greater than that fruit of the Spirit. The great spiritual blessing we have by virtue of the fact that we are born again by the Holy Spirit of God is that we know God in Jesus. That's the great blessing. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, we are so blessed in Christ, just as God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. So when you're blessed, think of this. When you're blessed with every spiritual blessing, and that through the Holy Spirit of God and of Christ, remember that the blessing is you're brought into the arms of Jesus. You're brought into this relationship of friend and servant of Christ and follower of Christ, so that Christ is everything to you and you know it. And when you pray to God in the name of Christ, you're blessed because God answers prayers in the name of Christ. And when you're blessed with Jesus, and when the Holy Spirit teaches you of Jesus, your mind is enlightened, your heart is quickened, your step is more lively, your perspective on life now is wonderfully enhanced. You look at things from God's point of view, and your perspective on life to come, your hope, is now alive. These are blessings, spiritual blessings, but they're said to be in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, you might note in your Bibles that these spiritual blessings in the heavenly places is in italics. It's not in the original Greek language. I don't mean to pass myself off as an expert on things, but I do know the Greek, and basically, or literally, the text says we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. And some have said that that simply means that, well, the blessings are spiritual. It's another way of describing the fact that there's these spiritual blessings, and here it is, it's in the heavenlies. It's like a heavenly thing. As Jesus himself says, the kingdom is a kingdom of heaven, not just of God, but it's of heaven. It's a spiritual kingdom. And so we could say that, and we could cite maybe the fact that Philippians 3 tells us that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's from above. To be sure, it's heavenly like that. But I believe that there's a reason why we are led to something different here. And this is exciting. And that is this. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I think really is properly translated places. Because everywhere else, and there's four times I believe that this phrase in the heavenlies is used without the word places, it does refer to places. And the places it refers to is heaven. And you look, for example, at Ephesians 1, verse 20. You find there that we are to bless God who worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That's a place, in the heavenlies. The right hand of God is this place of heaven where God dwells in Jesus with the elect and with the angels. But then you look at chapter 2 and verse 6, to name other, just one other place. We are raised up, God is raised, he's raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So what we are led to understand by this phrase that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings, even in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, is that somehow by being blessed of God, we are, as Christians, taken to heaven. In other words, we experience something of the glory of Jesus Himself, taken in connection with the fact that we are blessed in the heavenly places in Christ. This fits. We are those who are joined to Christ, having been chosen in Christ. Now, verse 3, sees us as joined to Christ by faith, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that He's the vine, we're the branches. He's the head, we're the body. Where the head goes, the body follows. Jesus, who went to the death of the cross, is now risen, and He's at the right hand of God. That's where we are. That's how Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 6 describes it, after all. Not just a future thing. But we, when we were dead in trespasses, have been made alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And we already have been raised up together and made to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're now in glory. Now you might think, well, Reverend, really? Do you have a screw loose here? We're in church. But of course, we're talking about spiritual things, which eye doesn't see, but which faith believes in light of the Word of God. In a real way, beloved, there's only one task of a minister, and that's to take you to heaven via passing by the smoke of hell, which we deserve. To take you to heaven by reminding you of your sins and pointing you to the Savior and to His blessings, all His benefits on that bloody cross. And it's all about heaven. It's all about being in the presence of God there. Oh, I know to be sure there's things to come. We live between the two Advents, the first coming and the second coming. But now these times are the times when He's working in us to appreciate what He's done and what He's coming to do, to culminate all the glory that has been begun in us, the glory life, but which shall be only consummated when He comes again. But that's why we're blessing God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing, all the things that are benefits to the soul, and more. These spiritual blessings are such that they're glory blessings. Blessings that Christ has earned for Himself and for His church, in which He wants us to participate in now. So that's why Paul starts off, "Hello, praise the Lord." Hello, how are you? Praise the Lord. Praise is on his mind. The Apostle Paul, knowing his own sin, knowing the hell of self-righteousness from which he'd been delivered, speaks to us from his heart and from the Word of God that God has revealed to him and is revealing as he's writing, inspiring the Apostle. You know that? Do we really know these great blessings? These glory blessings that are in Christ. And that points us, of course, to how we're blessed. We're blessed by grace alone, as the text is pointing out, because there's an election of God, and we're chosen in Christ, in connection with Christ. Jesus is ever our federal head. He represents us in heaven. And now more, since He's come to us in His Spirit and we've been those given to receive Him and joined together to His life, there's that inness of life, of body and of head, of bride and of groom, this communion and intimacy. That's why. That's the only reason why we're blessed. You see, remember, blessing children is a good word. God speaks a good word. But if you're not in Christ, God cannot speak a good word of you, because there's nothing good to say There's nothing to commend you to God's favor unless you be in Christ. God cannot behold sin except to punish it, the prophet says. God is angry with the wicked every day. The curse of the Lord, not the blessing of the Lord. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but He blesses the habitation of the just, Proverbs 3:33. Amazing. The very house of the wicked is cursed. And a curse is the opposite of a good word from God. It's a bad word from God. It's judgment. God has spoken a good word to us because He chose us in Christ. Good pleasure. That's it. He wanted to. He desired to in Himself. This was His purpose. We're no better than the rest who were left in their sins. He chose us. And now we're blessed in Him, really and in a living way through the gift of faith. And so we can praise God. We can praise God. Now, I want, before I move on to the second point here, just to remind you of what seems to be brought out in this text so that we don't forget. It's this. We are to bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And the idea is, you can't count the blessings. The idea seems to be, though, that you should try to count them. It's as if Paul is about to speak of blessings here, and he's just reminded us that there's a whole slew of them. There's a bunch of heaven, you see, that's given to us. Don't miss a little of heaven. One of the reasons the apostles take the lead, and parents should always take the lead, and ministers and elders and deacons should take the lead in the church in praise, is because we're so easily distracted from praise. And good leadership in the church, in the families, among brethren, is leading one another to higher things than all your problems or my problems. Imagine. I think the opposite of an apostle is some doomsday sayer. Even though he calls those sinners to fear the Lord, but with regard to the saints, he calls us who fear the Lord as children to praise the Lord. The perspective, you see, is on how worthy is our Lord. How joyful He makes us to be. We just sang of that. So that He'd say in another place, whatever is of praise, whatever is of good report and of virtue in Philippians 4:8, think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So I want us to count a little bit. Count all the blessings we have in spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, the first is faith, isn't it? Wouldn't it be that? Paul's a believer writing here to believers, the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. Faith comes from the electing grace of God and through the mediator. Faith comes from the cross. Let's say this is the cross. And it goes from the cross to you. It's not something you add to the cross to make it effective. It's something that comes from the cross. Faith and the Holy Spirit earned for Jesus as that thing is, which is now by right the people for whom He died. It is now His to give, and then He gives it. We're joined to the things of our redemption. Faith and the Holy Spirit. Wonderful blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with faith and with the Holy Spirit. And has blessed us as well, having predestinated us to it with adoption. Verse 5, look at that. With adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. Before that, look at what He blessed us with. He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. We're blessed with holiness. And that we should walk and be without blame before Him in love. But then there's this adoption. There's this Father who receives us into His own family life. And He says, you're my children. That's listed here. One of the every spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are reconciled to Him. Verse 6, He's made us accepted in the Beloved, in Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood. We're forgiven the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Besides that, verse 11, we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. And then we're given that Holy Spirit, once again, who seals us, who's the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. And guarantees means guarantee and means we can be assured. We are assured. That's one of the great blessings of faith and life with God. We know it. We know it. And that's why we can praise God. So I want to go through the other list, another list of blessings. These are spiritual things, but how about this? The blessings of truth. The blessings of the Reformation. The blessing of sola scriptura, sola Christus, sola fidei, sola gratia, soli Deo gloria, the five solas of the Reformation. To God alone be the glory, by grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone we're saved, and this all because we know that the Bible is the authority of these things. It's the wonderful message of God. Isn't that a great gift? Isn't that wonderful? We have this deposit of truth in the creeds of the church. The canons of Dort, the Heidelberg Catechism, the Belgic Confession, the Westminster Standards, these are wonderful gifts of God, whereby the church doesn't have to reinvent the wheel. The church, having fought against the heretics, can stand against them all the more strong, but we must be vigilant, of course. It's still a gift, a great, great gift. Then more, just to add to the list. And I hope that you can go home and on your way home, you can add to the list of all the reasons you had to be blessing. And isn't this amazing? It's not even Thanksgiving yet. I think it's a time to be thankful all the time. So, what about all the providences of God in your life? Here we have to be careful. Just because God provides things doesn't mean He blesses us. Necessarily, in His providence. Reminded of the fact that the complaining Israelites complained about quails. Remember that? God gave them to them, all right. But the psalmist says He sent leanness to their soul. He judged them in the giving of the quails. Scary thing. And so, when people in their wickedness are turning from God, and He sends them rain, and He sends them sunshine, and He sends them wealth, and it seems like they are being blessed of God. Hold it. The things that God gives do not betray any kind of attitude necessarily of God, except that He is God who is good and who provides for His creation. But the blessings here of which the apostle speaks are blessings which flow from our being chosen in Christ, and Christ died for us, and now are being connected vitally to Christ by faith. These are the blessings of the cross. These are the good words of God, because we've been justified before God, and now we are seen as right. We are regarded as His, and God loves His own. He loves His own work, and He would crown it with every blessing. But now, then, having said that, as children of God, we can receive all providences too. Everything. as a blessing. And so the word spiritual takes on a new meaning, doesn't it? Spiritual? With a job? How can that be spiritual? How can that be a blessing? That thing, that 9-to-5 thing, that factory thing. Well, I'll tell you how it can be a blessing. Because the cross of Calvary was a blessing. I'll tell you how it can be a blessing. Because Jesus, God, forever be praised, became incarnate. And so the possibility of blessing in the midst of all the stuff, good and bad, is real for Jesus' sake. So that in your ordinary job, with the blessing of the Lord upon it and upon you, it becomes a calling. And it doesn't matter what it is, as long as you're not sinning in it and you're serving the Lord through it and using your talents, this is a blessing. And we ought to be content in the blessing, the blessed calling that God has called us to. Yes? So, we receive much. Praise be God to God. He gives us to serve God's people with whatever we have, whatever talents, whatever resources. We are those who have little, or perhaps we've been those who are visited by a negative in our life and things are taken away. Maybe our health is taken away. Maybe our ability to do things is taken away gradually or not so gradually because we're just growing older. Well, and these negatives. And these negatives for family and for persons and for churches and so on. When it's not succeeding the way perhaps we would want it. Remember to bless the Lord who has blessed us with ever spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And what He's doing in the negatives, in the hardships, in our weaknesses, in the paucity of people, is He's leading us to heaven and He's leading us to live out of the truth as it is in Jesus and to be strong in faith. And I tell you, because God says so, one person who's strong in faith can overcome 1,000 devils every day and 10-foot Goliaths she will slay. God, the God of incarnation and the God of the mystery of the cross, is the God who blesses us lavishly, not just with spiritualized things, but with spiritual blessings in heavenly places that meet the earth and take the earth and the people of God up on the earth into heaven in the midst of the hardest of things. And so, there's three of us and we're walking in the fire. And with us in the fire is one like the Son of God and one like the Son of Man. So there's one of us and He's thrown in the den of lions. And God locks the lion's jaws. Amazing, our God. So there's never any time when we cannot praise God for present spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Not one situation in which we find ourselves led, and it's tough. Well, we cannot praise God. Look at Job. He gives and He takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what he says. May we say that with him. So we praise. Final point. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us. Well, the blessed do bless. That's what our text says. Kind of strange it may seem that we bless God. We can't bless God, can we? When He blesses us, He adds to us. He fills our lack. Certainly that can't be the case. And it's not. Simply, beloved, when we bless God, we have a good word for Him. And the word is, you are worthy of praise. That's our good word for God. We acknowledge in Himself He's worthy of all praise in Himself before He blesses us. We say, though He slay me, I will bless Him, just because He's God. He's full of virtue. He's worthy of all adoration of every creature there ever was, because no one besides God is God. God is the only God. So we worship Him. This is a worshipful doxology. We are worshiping God when we praise Him and acknowledge Him as the God of infinity without any limits, the God of eternity without any beginning or end, the God who has all immortality and He's brought immortality to light through Jesus Christ. We praise Him for this, for all of His virtues, for all of His works. We praise Him. And note here, there's this wonderful phrase whereby we are led into the praise of God, who is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That reminds us of John 20 and verse 17, where Jesus speaks of the fact that He ascends and He says, "Don't cling to me, for I've not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascended to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." The same idea is being mentioned here when Paul speaks of the God who's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What you say? I thought Jesus was God. He is. But what's front and center here is the mediator, who is Jesus. And so he can call God his God. He can pray to this God. As God, he doesn't pray to God, but as mediator, he does. He's the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are to bless. And He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, He's our God and He's our Father. Other places, of course, the divinity of Jesus Christ is brought out. But here, the mediation of Jesus Christ is brought out, the one through whom and in whom there are all these blessings. So blessed be the God and Father of Jesus Christ, the God who begat Jesus eternally and who brought Him forth into this world and conceived Him by the Holy Spirit. Bless Him, praise Him for Jesus. Praise Him. Be glad for Him. Bear the fruit of His own work in your life. Resist not Him. Grieve not His Spirit. Deny not His Word. Preach it. That's what the church does. We preach the truth of God, who's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and ours, for Jesus' sake. We preach predestination unashamedly and with conviction. We preach the Christ who's the Christ of His people alone, with no shame. We preach the God who is the God who gets His way always, and it will be glorified even in all things, however many people resist Him and that. We declare the truth. We pray in the name of the God of truth. We open our Bibles to find more and more of Him. Now, I just want to bring up one more thing here. With regard to certain difficulties we can have in thinking about these things and really praising God first in our lives and really in our lives, and so that others are blessed. Reminded as I was studying these things of Ephesians 1, 3 and 4, that Israel itself was having trouble finding Jesus anywhere. And when Jesus came, their trouble at finding Jesus anywhere, according to the revelation they had, it came out. You see, they were going about trying to establish their own righteousness. It was a really hard thing, you know, to live under the old covenant. We read in the Bible that the old covenant was a letter that could only kill, couldn't make people alive. And everywhere they went, the law was saying, do this and live. And the law was saying, you're not doing this, you're going to die.
The old covenant couldn't save.
And so they became, it seems, rather desperate. And you read of this in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And they were saying, how can we be right with God? Let's try to find a way in the heavens. Let's try to ascend there ourselves, or maybe go into the depths of the sea. And Paul said, it's all wrong. It's all wrong. Because you're not getting it. The old covenant was designed to lead you to despair of yourself and to delight in the Savior by faith. That's why, in the midst of all the requirements, was the tabernacle and the lambs and the bulls and the goats that were slain for sinners. And they should have been led to that righteousness that comes from Jesus alone. It was a tough time. That's what I'm trying to say here. Bear with me. They couldn't rise to the occasion, as it were, by faith. They had no faith. Because they didn't know one thing. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all who believe. Paul says that in Romans 10, and he's alluding to Deuteronomy 30 and the problem that the Jews were having finding Christ in the hard time of the Old Covenant. My friends, let's liken all of our hard times to what we need to know and what Christ was teaching in the Old Covenant, that He's the end of the law. He's the goal, the telos of the law. There's a goal in every one of our hard times. Every one of them. Hard times of life. Hard times dealing with our position in life. Hard times in the church, in the family, with regard to the state and who's going to get elected, the future and so on. Hard times. But I tell you, beloved, because God says so, if Christ be the end of the law, if He's the goal of the law, and if we be blessed with Him, with the precious knowledge of Him in every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, He's also the blessing that we should understand is the blessing of the hard things. He's the goal of the hard things, in fact. He's leading you to say no to self, no to self-trust, and more to Jesus, and more to His power, His strength, His glory. That's what I wanted to leave you with. So you can praise God, and it's not just on sunny days. And it may be while you're bearing a cross. And it may be as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But you're going to bless God, I know it. And I'm going to, because Jesus led the way. He praised God all the way to hell and back. He accomplished redemption. And He's given us heaven itself. Beloved, God loves you. And He's blessed you. And He's blessed you, and He's taking you and your children to heaven. What else could we ask for? Bless Him first. Bless Him really. And bless Him to be a blessing in this terrible trial of these times. Do that. And all praise to God. Amen. Lord God, we pray You would bless the word that we've brought and heard. May we praise You, Lord. May we preach Your truth and live by it. May we be pious, godly. Lord, fill us with Your Spirit. Take not Your Holy Spirit away from us. Give Your word to be our light. As we leave this place, as we praise You together, and in all that we're given to do, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.